Thank you very much for coming. It's a privilege to be here. Turn in your Bible, please, to the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms, chapter 39. I'd like to read a few places in the Word of God at the close of the meeting tonight. Psalm 39 and verse 4. Middle of your Bible, fourth verse, 39th chapter. Book of Psalms. Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days. What is it that I may know how frail I am? Behold, thou hast made my days as a handbreadth, and mine age is as nothing before thee. Verily, every man in his best state is altogether vanity. Selah. Surely, every man walketh in a vain show. Surely they are disquieted in vain. He heapeth up riches and knoweth not who shall gather them. John's Gospel, please. Chapter 17. John chapter 17 and verse 3. And this is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Final reading in the Epistle of 1 John, please, chapter 5. Epistle of 1 John, chapter 5. And begin reading at verse 11. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. We trust the Lord will bless the reading of the good word of God to each one of us tonight. The purpose of this meeting tonight, it's called a gospel meeting. It's to bring before you some eternal truths that will concern where your soul will be for all eternity. On my way coming here to the conference from Saskatchewan, I stopped in a little restaurant to get a little yummies for the tummy, you might say, and the way coming through. And there was just myself and another couple in the restaurant. It was a man and a wife. And he kept saying something to his wife, "What are we going to do?" I perked up my ears. And he says, "We're 3 months behind in the payments on the house. We haven't made a mortgage payment in 3 months. I haven't received any payments in. What are we going to do?" You know what I thought? You got a small problem. Now, you might think it's a big problem, but really, in light of eternity, it's a small problem. The biggest problem or the biggest difficulty that anyone can ever have is soul trouble. And you say, what's soul trouble? Soul trouble is when the gracious Holy Spirit speaks from the unerring, unalterable Word of God, and you find out I've got a problem and I'm not right with God. I had a very odd experience this morning. As far as I know in life, I hardly ever dream. People tell me you dream all the time, but you don't remember it. And I woke up this morning, I felt like I was in tears. And it was maybe 4 a.m. or so. And I never had the experience like it before. But I'm going to share it with you. I dreamed that there were some that came to this conference and ended up in hell. That they knew the gospel of the grace of God, that they knew that they needed to be saved, that they knew that they needed to be born again, and they were never willing to be serious about eternal truths. In the Psalms here, we read some solemn, searching verses. The Bible tells us that you and I should ponder the path of our feet. You come over into the book of Matthew, and you will find there that it was told to some, "Ye do err, because ye know not the Scriptures, nor the power of God." Sometimes when one is young, they think they're 10 feet tall and maybe bulletproof. And as life moves on, one reminds more and more how frail one really is. The psalmist here realizes how frail he is, how short life is, and how there is no guarantee of tomorrow. I stopped in a store, an equipment dealer in Saskatchewan, having some gospel meetings. The rain was freezing so much that when I went to open the door at the post office, I was on metal grating, I slid backward. And the postmistress lady looking through the door, when I finally got in, I says, "I guess I just don't weigh enough," and she laughed. It was just so icy. So I got to an equipment dealer, a farm dealer, and there's a nice young gentleman behind the counter. And I told him, "I'm going through the town, an invitation for some gospel meetings, and I've got a gospel paper for you. And it says, I'd like to ask you a question." I was trying to warm up. My hands were numb, and I wanted to talk to him. And I said, "Have you ever heard that you need to be saved or born again to be in heaven?" "Oh," he says, "I've heard that." So then I says, "Are you?" He turned white as a ghost, and he refused to talk to me anymore. Can you imagine that? And I went off into the storm. I want to ask you a question tonight. I don't know everyone in the audience, but there's one thing I do know. God knows you. And God loves you. And God wants to arrest you in your path that you might come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Can I ask from the front row all the way up to the back where I'd need binoculars to see everybody? Are you saved? Is it really well with your soul? You see, there are some people you meet in the journey of life and you ask them if they're saved, and yes, I am. And the question is just answered to get you off their back, as it were. Are you off their back? And there are others you meet and they think they are really saved, and they haven't got a clue what the Holy Scriptures teach, and they haven't got a clue what salvation is about. And the problem is, you and I are only here for a little while. You come into the book of Amos, chapter 4 and verse 12, and there is a statement there from the Lord that applies to each and every one of us. It says, "Prepare to meet thy God." How am I going to prepare to meet God? How am I ever going to get my sins forgiven? Is it possible to ever know before one dies that they're going to be in heaven at the end of life's journey? I want to say emphatically that if you don't know now, heaven is your home and the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior, then most likely you do not have so great salvation. God longs to put a no in your knower, that it's well with your soul, not because of what you have done or anyone else has done, but alone because of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done on the cross of Calvary. It says here, the psalmist, he says, his days are just as a hand's breadth, and his age is nothing as before him. And the word of God tells us, man goes to his long home, the mourners go about the streets, and the Holy Scriptures would say, "Oh, that thou would be wise and consider thy later end." Life seems to be very busy, and the older one gets, it seems that the pace seems to intensify. And those of you that are young couples here with the children, so nice to see you, you have found out very quickly that life seems to intensify in its pace day by day and year by year. I thought when the children would leave the home that life would slow down, but it's never slowed down. When I was a young lad, my mother thought I had roller skates on my feet all the time, though I didn't. And it seems as the years have moved on, every day and every year seems just about the same. I would like to ask you tonight to put everything else aside, to put it on the back burner, to put it on the top shelf, and be willing to ponder whether or not, beyond a shadow of a doubt, it is well with your soul through the work and worth of the Lord Jesus Christ. You come into Mark's gospel and it says, what does it profit a man if he could gain the whole world and lose his own soul? I invited a lady 2 weeks ago at a post office, the postmistress, to come to a gospel meeting. Well, she says, my husband works in the oil and he's going to be coming home tonight and, we're really busy. I says, you come to the meeting tonight and you can hold his hand in the meeting tonight and, she says, we're really busy. He says, let me ask you a little question. What are you going to do with all the money you're earning and your husband's earning in the oil fields? What are you going to do with it? And she stopped in her tracks and looked at me and she said, that's a really good question. She says, I guess what we're going to do is just leave it for the children. People, it seems, are so busy and caught up with this now world, as it were, that they never realize and never listen from the unerring, unalterable word of God that you have a soul. And the Bible tells us emphatically, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You, me, and everyone that's ever walked on the face of this earth, aside from the Lord Jesus Christ, has come forth from our mother's womb speaking lies. The word of God tells us we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. I want to ask you a little question. Paul Kimber one time knew I was having meetings, and he was having meetings nearby, and so he asked on some of the ones coming to the meeting, he says, have they found out their sinnership yet? Well, that was kind of a fancy word for me, but you know what he was saying? Have they ever found out that they're a lost sinner in need of salvation? I want to ask you a question tonight. I won't ask you any questions at the door, but be delighted to talk with you if you want. Have you ever found out, in the journey of life through the Word of God, the entrance of thy Word gives light, that you are a lost, helpless, hopeless, hell-bound sinner without Christ as your Savior? That's a mouthful. And we live in a day today when people want things to be politically correct and they don't want you to ruffle anybody's feathers. Well, I would love to ruffle your feathers tonight, but I couldn't. It's going to take the Spirit of God to awaken you. And people say, don't preach about hell too much and don't get too excited because, well, who wouldn't want to preach about it and who wouldn't want to get excited? Because this book tells me, and that's how God speaks to us, that if you are not saved, if your sins are not forgiven, you will never be in heaven at the end of life's journey. Can I repeat that, even though I'm sure you heard me the first time? If you are not saved or born again the Bible way, you will never be in heaven at the end of life's journey. You weave over into John's gospel, and you will find there in the Word of God, this is life eternal, that they might know thee. You come to the book of Acts, chapter 13, verse 38 and verse 39, jam-packed with information, and it says, be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached the forgiveness of sins. And by him, all that believe are justified from all things from which he could not be by the law of Moses. If there is a sinner in the gathering tonight, and you want to have your sins forgiven, you want to have your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you want to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that it's well with your soul, it's through the work and worth of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're a proud race. And we like to do something or think we've done something. And when you come to salvation in the Word of God, God wants to bring you to a place that you can find out there is nothing I can do to save my soul. Sometimes in the orchard country, they put a lot of sticks up under the trees. They call them props because the fruit's so heavy, the branches are going to break off. And there's a lot of people in the journey of life and they've got a lot of props. and they're not really going to help them when it comes to eternity. And they say, well, you know, I've turned over a new leaf. And some say, well, you know, I've become religious and I go to a church or a meeting and I think I'm going to be in heaven. I'm trying to outdo the bad that I did. You look in the book and it says, thou art weighed in the balances and found wanting. You weave through the word of God, you come to the book of Ephesians and it says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, not of yourselves. Did you know you can't save yourself? And there are people that grow up amongst the assemblies, thank God, and they know the gospel message and they think I can get saved anytime I want. Wrong. It takes the Spirit of God to work. And I want to say that salvation is a revelation from the God of heaven to a lost, perishing sinner, what the Lord Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary. And there are people that grow up in the Sunday school and they know the word of God and they'll tell you, well, just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That's accurate and that's true. But you try it. And it's going to take God to reveal to your soul what the Lord Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary. 50 or 51 times in John's gospel, you will find the phrase belief, believeth, or believing. What does it really mean to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? Belief in the Word of God is never intellectual knowledge. It is never a learning of facts. And there are many people that feel that they are saved because they have learned a verse and they have learned a fact. But belief in the Word of God means to trust. It means to rest or rely on what the Lord Jesus Christ did at the place called Calvary. It does not matter how hard you believe or how much you believe, but who your belief is in. If it is in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, plus nothing more and nothing less, the Scripture says, thou shalt be saved. You would have your title clear to the mansions above. This is life eternal, that they might know thee and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. In each of the places that I read, it had the little word know. The greatest thing that a person can know or have in the journey of life is the Lord Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior. The greatest tragedy that ever takes place in the journey of life is for an individual to be born and die without Christ as their Savior. This audience that's here tonight will never be this exact audience ever again in the journey of life. I want to be faithful to you, and I want to be faithful to God. And you read the Word of God and search it from cover to cover in the 66 books in the Bible, and you will find that there's a heaven to gain and there's a hell to shun. You will find a little question in the Old Testament, who among us will dwell in the everlasting burnings? I would like to emphasize at the close of the meeting tonight, there's a Savior that loves you. He loves you more than anyone you've ever met or will ever meet with your eyes. He's loved us unto death, even the death of the cross. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man, through the lovely man, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, co-equal and co-eternal, you can have forgiveness of sins. The Apostle Paul, when he came to Corinth, he preached how that Christ died and was buried and rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. Young fellow came to meetings a couple years ago. He got stirred up. And then he wanted to come into the assembly. The elders interviewed him. and he couldn't come up with a clear story how he was saved. He refused to go back. I visited him in the fall, asked him how he was doing, and wanted to play as ignorant as I could of the circumstances. So I said, "How are you doing? Are you still going to the meetings like when you came to the gospel series?" "Nope." He says, "The elders didn't think I was saved, and I'm not going." "Well," I says, "how did you get saved?" "Well," he says, "you know, I used to be an alcoholic. And I went through the program, and I turned over a new leaf, and I think that's when I got saved." I says, "That's good that you're no longer an alcoholic. But," I says, "when did you get your sins forgiven?" Couldn't answer. Next day he phoned and he says, "I want you to come to the house before you leave in the morning. We've got some questions to ask you." His wife's sitting around the table, he's sitting around the table, and the little one was put in the room to play, and the two of them had tears running down their face. They're earnest. He says, "Let me tell you another story." "Okay." He says, "I went to Promise Keepers, and there was a group of us men, and we made a bunch of vows, and I think that's when I got saved. What do you think?" I told him something that I never told anybody before in life or since. I said, "As far as I can tell from what you have told me, you are a drowning man clinging on anything who has nothing." We prayed, and I left. Is there a drowning man or woman in their sins here tonight, clinging on anything but not Christ? He phoned me a week later. I was in Eastern Oregon. He says, "I'm not saved." He's in a panic. Have you ever had that time in your life when you found out from God, "I am not saved? My sins are taking me to the awful place. I need God so great salvation, I'm never going to be in heaven"? He's in a panic now. I chatted a while and gave him some verses. Called him up a week later. "How are you doing?" He says, "I am miserable." "Why?" "I want to be saved, and I can't get it. I've talked to this one and that one, and I'm reading verses, and I'm reading, and I can't get it." "Well," I says, "I'll give you a little suggestion. Open to Isaiah 53. And it will tell you of what the Lord Jesus was going to do on the cross of Calvary prophetically. 25 times you have the personal pronoun, he there." I says, "As you read that, ask yourself a little question. Who was the Lord Jesus going to the cross for, and why was he there?" This time he called me up 2 days later. He said, "I'm saved." I says, "How could a fellow like you ever be saved? 2 days ago you were lost and you couldn't get it." He says, "It was really simple." I says, "If it was so simple, would you explain it to me?" He says, "I only got down to the 5th verse. I didn't even have to read the whole portion." And he says, "He was wounded for our transgressions." He says, "I found out right in the home reading he was wounded for my sins. And if he died for my sins," he says, "I'm saved." Can I ask you at the close of the meeting tonight, have you ever found out personally who the Lord Jesus Christ was wounded for at the place called Calvary? First John chapter 5 and verse 10. "He that trusteth, he that believeth, he that relieth, he that resteth, he that receiveth the Son of God hath the witness in himself. And he that believeth not God, he that takes not God at his word, hath made him a liar. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son hath not life. but the wrath of God abides on him. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. At the close of this meeting, do you know that you have eternal life? You can have eternal life through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. He went to the cross, as you know. He bore our sins in his own body on the tree. A crown of thorns in his brow, back as a plowed field, face marred and the beard plucked off, nails in the hands and the feet, spear wound in the side. He shed his own precious blood that you and I might have our sins forgiven. There were the long dark hours at Calvary, wave after wave, billow after billow, thy fierce wrath, it lieth hard upon me. Can I ask you a question at the close of the meeting tonight? Who was the Lord Jesus wounded for on the cross of Calvary? I hear the dull blow of the hammer swung low. They're nailing my Lord to the tree. I hear the accuser roar of ills that I have done. I know them all and thousands more. My Lord or Jehovah findeth none. How would I be able to take those words and say them tonight? Because the Son of God loved me and gave himself for me. He loved you and he gave himself for you. And he wants you to come to him tonight in faith.